This message was recorded live at the Life Church UK building. We hope that you are truly blessed and encouraged by today's message. For any more information, please visit us online at lifechurchuk.org.
We're going to Ephesians chapter 3, and we've been talking for the last two Wednesdays about being rooted and grounded in love. And when you think about being rooted as a Christian, then you cannot ignore Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, because the Bible in Galatians shows us we who are in Christ are the seed of Abraham. We are the promised blessing. In your seed, all the nations, families of the earth will be blessed. It's what the Lord said to Abraham in Genesis 12, verse 4, verse 3. And then in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, it says that God preached the gospel to Abraham when he said to him, in your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So when you think about what you are rooted in, what you're grounded on, it ought to take you a bit further. And to me, I find meditating on these things very important because it gives value to the commitment and devotion of my Christian life. And that I choose daily to not be an Esau who sold his birthright for a moment of pleasure. And that temptation comes to us all in one way or another. But no, I'm not an Esau. No, I believe that my Father is able to keep me from stumbling and that I may continue in faith and obtain the crown that he's holding out to us all, the crown of righteousness. Paul talks about this in his last letter, 2 Timothy chapter 4, the crown of righteousness that the Lord is holding out to him. And he says, I've kept the faith. I've kept the faith. And when you come to that place Paul is at, that you know it's my time to go, man, it's sure good to know what's awaiting you and that you kept the faith and that you're about to enter in to your reward of faith and enjoy that eternal life with the Heavenly Father. Amen. There is a reward for those who earnestly seek the Lord. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says that we must believe that God exists and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And that kind of depth of commitment, folks, it doesn't just come overnight. It grows in you. And every time you go through a trial, a tribulation that comes to test your faith, it becomes more precious than gold purified in the fire, James says in chapter 1. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials that come to test your faith, that becomes more precious, that faith in God. And when you know, I love sitting down with old Christians and hearing their hearts. I love it. I love it. I miss Tom and Renee Marshall. Remember them? Some of you may not know them, I understand that, but oh, they were beautiful saints. And to give you a little, just quick, and then I've got to get started, example. So Renee is in a care home here. Tom had gone to heaven a couple of years before, and Renee's in a care home. I go visit her every so often, but I hadn't seen her for many months. And somebody said to me, Pastor, Renee's really suffering. She's really suffering. Maybe you go see her. I said, oh, absolutely. Thanks for letting me know. And she was being visited by a lot of people. Hillary, Lisa, many of you know, would go all the time. And her son, Peter, who's in the church here, goes every day. So I know people were going to see her. So anyway, I went there. And this is what the Bible calls sleeping. When you, in the natural nature, are dying, then it's like the Bible calls that sleeping. You become sleepy in the sense you are not conscious of this world much anymore. When you're sleeping, are you conscious of this world? No. So that's what it's like. So people kind of don't connect anymore. And they don't communicate exactly with all the rationale that comes along with it because they're sleepy. It's like somebody who's drugged out, you know, they're a bit out of it. That's what that's like. And it's actually a comfort for you while you're waiting to pass from this life to that life. So anyway, so I went to go see her. I walked in the room and see, now we know each other very well in the Lord. Because I would go to their house and we would sing and pray and have a Holy Ghost time, you know. And I would go, walked in and she didn't know who I was. But how do you connect with people that mentally can't remember who you are? Start talking. But talk with a heart of love, not just any wishy-washy stuff. So I just said, hi, Rini. It's good to see you. I've missed you. And I'm just talking. It took maybe 20 seconds, 30 seconds, and she woke up. What is the waking up? It's the fountain of the new creation life that is within you that springs up, like Jesus says in John 4, and gives life to your mortal flesh, as Romans 8 verse 10 says. It gives life to your mortal flesh, right? And it wakes your senses. It wakens it all. And she woke up completely. And we're talking about scripture. She's asking about all kinds of people in the church. And we're having a heavenly time. And she, then in the moment, she said, oh, Pastor, I just so want to go home. I want to go home. I want to go home. I said, it's coming. It's coming. You'll see. You'll fall asleep and you'll wake up on the other side. It's coming. It's coming. And I believe in this, that the Lord Jesus is ready to carry us in his bosom into his holy heavenly presence as the reward of our faith. And then this body is sown as a seed to await our return together with him to be given a new body. But in heaven, we have a body that is of light, clothing, garments white. Read it in Revelation chapter 7. But your spirit and soul go to heaven, but your body is sown on earth for when you come back with Jesus and you're given a new body. Not like this body, but it will be like his body. A body that is no longer subject to the nature of sin, but is completely under the power of the heavenly life like it's supposed to be. So anyway, so we're having this heavenly time together. It was just marvelous. And we prayed. And, you know, and okay, we say goodbye. I walk out. A few minutes later, her son Peter walks in to come and visit mom. And he saw his mom awake. And he saw the Lord in his mom. And he came back to church. And now he's in church every day. He saw the life of God. That life of God in our flesh is our righteousness. That is the righteousness of God. How do you know you have righteousness with God? Yes, be righteous, act righteous, do righteous, like John would say in his letter. He who's righteous does righteous. But folks, the righteousness is not just in the deeds, it's in the life of the Spirit. That is the righteousness. That is the freedom from the wrath of God, that you have been made alive with Christ. Now you're no longer afraid that you're going to be judged when you see the Lord. No, the moment you see him, you'll be like him. 2 Thessalonians 1:10, 1 John 3, verse 1 and 2. And all these scriptures are there as precious promises by which we become partakers of the divine nature. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about these things. Okay, and you want to have the kind of roots inside of you that no matter how your body has its attitudes and aches and pains and gets older and is dying, 2 Corinthians 4:16, though the outer man is perishing, yet the inner man is renewed day by day, and we have a far greater weight of glory awaiting us before the Lord. Praise the Lord, though the outer man is perishing, the inner man is being renewed. If you want to stay young, be renewed every day. Say amen. Now, Ephesians 3, starting at verse 8. Okay? To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, just in case you feel you are part of that bunch of people, right? Because some people, they always, you know, they kind of hang on to that mindset, well, I don't deserve it. And there is a healthy part to that mindset and an unhealthy part. The healthy part is, I am what I am by the grace of God. It's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. So it's actually a positive thought. I believe that will eternally be so for all of us. Not that there is any memory about our old nature and our sin nature, but there is a heavenly realization that it's all God's grace and grace alone. That it's because of the Lamb of God. I really believe that's one of the fundamental graces that makes us heavenly. Jesus demonstrated his divinity in his humility. And that humility we don't have in any form or fashion out of our natural nature. It is the very spirit by which he saved us from the nature of sin, pride, which is called self. And you stop becoming self-conscious and you become Christ-conscious. And that's a wonderful place to live. And that's here for us today by his indwelling presence. I who am the least, no, to me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Naturally, you cannot comprehend it. It has to be revealed by the Spirit of grace. And to make all see, right? So to me has been given this grace to make known the unsearchable riches of Christ, so all can see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ Jesus. So I got to stop there because the language is quite condensed and it's too much to just go into it. But friends, when we think about being rooted, right, in Christ, to be grounded and rooted in Christ, it goes so much deeper. And if we could just begin to get a taste for it as a congregation, right, and we can't get a taste for it unless we present it to you, unless it is served up, the revelation of it, and you get a taste for it, and your inner man begins to hunger for the knowledge of it, you begin to seek for it. The Lord talks about seeking and finding. You inwardly get a yearning, a groaning, a wanting, and it begins to come to you because the Holy Spirit responds to your spiritual hunger. Romans 8 verse 25 teaches this in 26. The Holy Spirit responds to your inner hunger for the knowledge of these riches of God in Christ. And it begins to come to you. You're reading the Bible, you're listening to some teaching, and there it is. And you're listening, and you're going, wow. I listened to Andrew Murray's book, Holiest of All. It's a bit of a big book, 130 little chapters. And I usually get stuck around the first 10 chapters for a couple of weeks because I just replay it and replay it and replay it, you know. And the language becomes more familiar. You learn the language by listening to it. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit begins to open up riches in me. And I am just worshiping. Honestly, I'm sitting there or walking, and I lift up my hands and I said, my goodness, Father, you foresaw us before the foundation of the world, and you, through Jesus Christ, created everything for whom you predestined us to be, and whom you predestined us to be to conform to the image of Jesus, you now also through him have made into manifestation. You revealed the man Christ Jesus, you revealed him in flesh and blood, and what you now revealed, how you brought that all to pass so miraculously, marvelously, amazingly, supernaturally. You know, when the scripture says, when the Pharisees were ridiculing Jesus, that the children were saying, Hosanna, blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord. And the Lord says, the Lord could have raised up children to Abraham from these stones. That would have been much easier for God. Much easier. Why not read the story from Abraham to Jesus and see through these individuals how God brought his promise to pass? And when you see, he is what? Of the tribe of which? Huh? Judah. The tribe of Judah. Look at Judah's life. I mean, you're talking about the dysfunctional fella. And if you see how, through Tamar, I think was her name, how then the Lord brought forth the seed that he continued. And if you would honestly read these things, and I think we should, then you would be a bit more gracious with us as a congregation when maybe the Lord is having to work through some dysfunctional souls. If you kind of then see some of these people and some of the mistakes they've made, or maybe some of the behaviors, then you don't just right away get on your high heels of thinking you know it better and feeling you dare to give an opinion by gossiping about it. No, you say, oh, Lord, bless them. Oh, Lord, enlarge my heart to love them, Lord. You would not dare have a judgment against it as if you, as a sinner, have any right to judge any man when you are yourself saved by grace. I'm talking about myself now. You understand? No, you stay in faith for precious people. And you think, God worked through Judah. God worked through Jacob. God worked through these people to bring his plans to pass despite their mistakes, despite their shortcomings. Wow. And when you think about being rooted and grounded, that is a powerful part of it. To me, it is. And I tell you the truth, I desperately desire to become deeper, wider, and richer in the love of Christ. I find it painful when certain souls slip away. And they slip out of our hands because we don't have sufficient grace to hold them. I find it painful. One person one time asked me when there had been something among the congregation. And yes, I agree, those things weren't right. But I kept praying and kept praying, and praise the Lord, those souls came through. It took a couple of years, but they came through. And this one person asked and said, Pastor, why didn't you do anything? I said, well, I did. I was praying day and night. And I'm grateful that the Lord brought them through. But why didn't, in other words, why didn't you judge it? I said, I know if I would have judged it, the devil would have taken them. And I've seen what the devil does with people. And that's, to me, more painful than for me to keep praying and interceding and praying and interceding and believing that Jesus' price was sufficient also for them. And that is not just a religious act. It is a spiritual heart. It is the heart of our Savior, who came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And I find that a very deep part of our roots as a church. And if we don't have this, folks, then the enemy, he can snare us, because he can make any of us make mistakes, some of the best of us. And the enemy could just bring in the spirit of judgment out of us. We'll be the ones to doing his dirty work of tearing everybody to pieces. No, I'm not called to that, and I will not give myself for it. And I'd rather go on my face and weep like Jesus and sweat drops of blood than to let the devil employ me to bring condemnation. Say amen. Amen. And I know it can get complicated, and some people say, well, things should be dealt with. Don't you think so, Pastor? Yes, and they do get dealt with, but I don't know too many parents who like to spank their children in public. I sure would never do such a thing, ever. Why not? I love my children. And I would spank them because I love them, but never in public. Never. And your Heavenly Father would never want to do it in public. Never. Look through the history of the Bible, how he held back his wrath and didn't deal with them according to his wrath, so his name would not be defamed before the Egyptians. Read it. Israel so provoked him when he came to save them, and provoked him to wrath by their evil hearts and love for the evil idols and the demonic influence that was on them, and it provoked him to wrath. But the scripture says God withheld his wrath so that his name would not be defamed, and he brought them out into the wilderness to meet them face to face and turn their hearts away from their evil idols so they could receive forgiveness. That's the kind of God I believe in. You're being a bit quiet. When you think about the depth of it, folks, is that everything was made through him and that we are now encrofted in Christ. Read John 15. We are encrofted in Christ. He is the vine. We are the branches. We now are given to bear the nature that he came to show us. We're to bear his nature. We're to bear his spirit, his character, his compassion, his love. And if you in some way or another conceive within your human nature you're falling short, you still get irritated, you still get angry, you still are judgmental, you're harsh, or you're critical or judgmental, or you see all these, that's all the weakness of the flesh. Read it in Galatians 5:20. And you see, you know, all these weaknesses, don't worry about it. Bring it to the Savior and say, Lord, I need more of you. I need more of you. And you allow your roots to grow deeper and deeper in him and deeper and deeper in him. And I'll tell you the truth, the fruit will come. It will come. And I believe, you know, I was having a group of pastors here and they asked me a couple of weeks ago, and they asked me, Pastor Robert, what do you think is the miracle of the church? I said, transformed lives. Look at you. I know many of you. Look at you. You're transformed people, beautiful, amazing people, children of God. You bear within yourself this new heavenly life. You now are able to worship God in spirit and truth. I mean, you have been made alive from the dead of sin and trespasses, and you are now made alive with that life of Christ. I mean, how big a miracle can we look for? To me, those are the biggest miracles that make the church phenomenal. And you are now part of that root. You are rooted into Christ Jesus. One scripture, and then we'll head towards something I want to share with you in a minute here. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As you therefore have received Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and build up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. I want to encourage you, keep letting your roots grow. The more your roots are active through your daily worship, through your daily Bible reading, through your daily thanking the Lord by being here in church and hearing his word, when the rain comes, it shows how your roots are doing. When the rain comes, folks, the majority of the life to the tree, so to speak, comes into the tree through the roots. Would you agree? When you put the water on the plant in the house, you put it on the dirt and it goes to the roots and the roots drink in that water. And then the foliage begins to flourish and the flowers begin to blossom as the sun shines upon it. When there is a moving of the Holy Spirit, then you can see how active your roots are. Because you immediately feel it and it begins to manifest in you and shows your roots are very active. And it's amazing. If you look at a plant, it can be all withered away. And you put some water on it and let the sunshine come to it and it can flourish within hours. Within hours. We have some flowers, they close up in the night, and the moment the day comes, they open up. To me, I think that's all marvelous how God shows his handiwork through all he created. And the Bible says our life in Isaiah 40 is like the flower and like the grass. And I think that we should be like the fresh, nourishing green grass that is constantly kept alive by the fresh waters of the rain of His Spirit. But if you don't have any roots, there can be a deluge of the Holy Spirit, but you don't show any response to it. I've seen this. I've seen the Holy Spirit come, and there's people that it does move them, touch them, affect them, because they have no roots. So keep allowing your roots to grow, like we've been talking about. Now, in closing, because I can't be late tonight, chapter 4 of Ephesians. One of the great graces that the Lord needs in you and me to become more flourishing, more fruitful, is that humility. And honestly, Pope, it is something you need to grow in daily, because people want more, they want more, but then when God gives them more, they don't know how to behave themselves. And it's sad if you see people that have been used phenomenally by the Lord go off because they all of a sudden, they don't seem to be able to recognize the deception. The honor of man, yes, is like an opium, a drug. Once it bites you, injects you, it is very hard to get it out of your system because it wants more, and it starts looking for it like a drunkard wants another drink. A drug addict wants another drug. And it begins to pull in you to feed on it. And it has destroyed many. And don't ever think that you might be immune to it, because look at Satan. He was the most glorious angel in heaven. But he began to look upon himself instead of God. And his beauty turned into hell. And he fell from glory. And he never recovered. And there are people that have seen great glory, but they have fallen and never recovered. To me, that is an unbearable thought. But it's true. And in my short 63 years of life, I've seen it. I've seen men walking in great manifestation of the kingdom of heaven, and they fell. And in my lifetime, they haven't recovered yet. Okay, I haven't lived very long. But in other words, we don't want to have this whole growth of the Lord and then be vulnerable. And I pray on this daily for myself. Hide me, my loving Father, from Colossians 3, verse 4. Hide me, Father, hide me. Do not let me be aware or conscious of the honor of man. I don't want to feel it. I don't want to know it. I don't want to have any consciousness of it. I only want to see you glorified. Psalm 115, not unto us, but to your name give glory. And this, I believe, friends, has to be a deep and strong part of our roots. And I believe that often, seemingly, because we're human, and scripturally I could show you, has to be maintained through certain kinds of sufferings that are unique to our person. But these sufferings every time bring us back to that point where if God doesn't keep us, we'd crack. We'd fall out of that knowing of His keeping. And it brings us to that point where again we say, Father, if I don't have you, if you don't keep me, if you don't uphold me, I've got nothing. And you're in that place. And it doesn't need to be mistakes that cause you to hit that same point of brokenness. It's just the circumstances of life. And I think really God would have you in such a place of His riches that it's not anymore your own necessarily area of vulnerability, failure. It is you being given to bear the weaknesses of others that brings you to that breaking point. I mean, Jesus did not break because of any failure of His own, but because He bore our sins. He bore our griefs and our sorrows. and in his brokenness, you could see a life not his own, fully surrendered, like sweet perfume to the loving Father. His surrendering himself to the Father was like sweet fragrance, it says, Ephesians 5, verse 2. I really believe that has to be a strong part of our roots. I want us to be able to last until the last day, don't you? And I want us to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow in the manifestation of the riches of his glory and see the transformation in our natures and in our lives, and that we're becoming more radiant, Proverbs 4:18, and more radiant with his glory, 2 Corinthians 3:17, 18, and that we're shining with graces and gifts to represent our Savior, but the real root that allows that to be consistent is what I'm going to read you now in closing. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I pray you hear what I'm sharing. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as we were called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. So real quick here, I'll read it again to you from the Classic Amplified, these first few verses. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, appeal to you and beg you to walk and lead a life worthy of the divine calling to which you have been called, with behavior that is credited to the summons to God's service. Behavior. What is the behavior? Living as becomes you, with complete lowliness of mind, humility, and meekness, unselfishness, gentleness, mildness, with patience, bearing one another and making allowances because of your love for one another. If I don't live there, the enemy could come in. I have to live there. And to me, that meekness and loneliness of the Savior, that gentleness, that kindness, that softness of spirit and nature is what he gives, maintains, and perfects in us, by which the enemy cannot gain access. He can't gain access. You learn that in the Lamb of God, slain for the sins of the world, the Lamb. And in heaven, he's worthy because he's the Lamb. I personally really embrace everything that causes me pain and suffering for this to grow richer in me. And when I don't like to feel the edges of it. In other words, I can feel in myself it's starting to irritate me or prick me, and I know, I can't live that close to the edge. I got to have an overflow of this nature of Christ, of his meekness and lowliness and gentleness and kindness and goodness. It's got to be so big that it holds me in that manifestation of this heavenly life. And it has to be so strong in your roots that you thirst for it. And you feel it within yourself. If it's not so, it ought not to be so among us, dear friends, that you cannot judge yourself. The scripture talks about judge yourself and you will not be judged. That you can go, I'm starting to become critical here. I'm starting to think bad about them. Before you even said anything, you catch the thought and you bring it down. And you never give power to it. You never share it. I don't like to have the thought. I don't like to have the thoughts. David says in Psalm 19, let the meditation of my heart and the thoughts of my mind, the words of my mouth, be well pleasing to you, Lord. I don't even want to have the thoughts. But surely not speak it out. not give power to it. No, no, no. But then again, I'm sure grateful I'm surrounded with shields of faith. And my dear, darling wife, oh, she's such a beautiful person. If you all knew how amazing she's sweet and good-hearted she is. But if I would ever let something come out of my mouth, it doesn't connect between us. And I'm so grateful that we have this. It doesn't connect. She won't go, wow, never. She would look at me and I'd say, sorry. Shouldn't have said that. Thank you, Donna. She don't have to tell me. Who's that? I don't know that guy. I'm not married to that man. Come on. Aren't we to bear the image of our loving Father? And if you honestly hear this and begin to let your roots grow deep and be grounded and rooted in this, and it begins to live in your relationship with the people right around you, and it becomes the power of it, the enemy can't come. He might, but he can't come. He might, but he can't come. And he will become frightened of you because he cannot control you. He cannot use your mouth. He cannot use your nature and character. And you rule over him, and that's the way it should be. We need to rule over the forces of darkness by the Spirit of our loving Savior. And we need to serve him with all of our faculties. Agree? Loving Father, help us to learn. Give us a learning heart by your Spirit. Let our roots grow so, so strong in you that the slightest movement of your Word and Spirit, and we feel it, and it awakes us, and our faculties are made alive, and our whole being bears the fruit of your holy, heavenly life, and you keep us free from the nature of sin, and you employ us for the glory of your name, and you raise up a congregation that is like a bright light, like a city set on a hill that reaches out to the whole world, and that people from all over the world begin to hear of the faith of the Son of God in us and the love of the Savior in us, and that multitudes are drawn out of darkness into your marvelous light in us, and that we see multitudes being saved. Oh, Father, I worship you for the glory and praise of your presence and power in us all as your church, as your people. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to make us exceedingly fruitful. Exceedingly fruitful. Oh, and that we're going to rejoice in what you are making us for the glory of your Son, Jesus. We worship you, loving Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our message today. We hope you feel encouraged, blessed, and strengthened for the week ahead. If there's anything you need, anything we can do at all to help and support you, please don't hesitate to contact us by visiting our website at www.lifechurchuk.org.